Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Ali Moreno. A little later on in the program, Gab Marcotti will be here to reflect on Juventus' late equaliser in that 1-1 draw against Atalanta. We'll kick things off in the Premier League, though. Manchester City were 12 points clear going into Liverpool's clash today away against Burnley. That now down to 9 points. Fabinho's goal proving enough to give Jurgen Klopp's side the victory. For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we, Shaka Hislop and Stevie Nicol. Stevie, people were talking about a title race. Are you?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, obviously Liverpool can't afford to slip up, particularly before they take on City. And are they capable of beating City? Absolutely. Which would mean we've got 3 points separating the two sides. So, absolutely we've got a race, 100%.
What did you make of them today, Shaq?
I don't think they were good. I don't think they were good at all, in all honesty. But they got the 3 points, and oftentimes that's what's asked of you. Listen, you go to Burnley, and to be fair, the conditions were simply awful. It was wet. It was very windy. That proved to be a leveler between the two. Burnley at home, physical, and with their fans behind them. So it was harder work than you would expect, than it should have been. But if you're Liverpool, you recognise that. You recognise everything that was going against you. You recognise how poor you were. You take the 3 points and you get out of there as quickly as you can, and you want to put that behind you equally as quickly, just as well. Champions League is coming up, so now that game, that performance, can be a distant memory.
If Burnley had someone who could finish, you'd be in trouble, Stevie.
Well, I'm not so sure. There are a couple of opportunities in the first half that quite frankly, had they been looked at, I'm going to say they would have been offside. But they just played on. And Shaq is right. Liverpool were poor compared to their best self. But they were still way better than Burnley. I mean, this is a team that's absolutely going down.
I don't know, Stevie. That's the concern, though, isn't it? Bottom of the table, Burnley. Weghorst, if he could manage to get his feet straight.
Who cares, Danny boy? Who cares? Did they win the game? Yes, they did. They were better than Burnley. They may have given up a couple of chances, but Pope's made a couple of saves as well. Liverpool by far the best side. It's not always champagne and caviar, shall we say. Sometimes you just got to get your boots dirty, get your knees dirty and get your strip dirty and get away with the points. And get away was not really the right way to put this. They were way better than Burnley, but they were poor compared to their best self. So let's leave it at that.
Stevie's all about champagne and caviar.
Yep.
That's all he has.
Absolutely.
I am.
Breakfast, lunch and dinner. Stevie, I'm surprised because you being the way that you are, you always bring up Liverpool's defensive frailties, but none of that concerned you today.
It doesn't now. Nothing's changed from what I've been saying recently about they're giving up some chances and they gave up some situations, yes, against Burnley. But you know what? Sometimes a defence and a goalkeeper actually have to make a contribution in a game. And probably the one you're thinking about is when Alisson made a save. So, you know, these are the reasons why Liverpool is such a good side, because they have players who can do good things when it's needed. But yeah, they're not any different than they've been. Every game they've given situations up that the opposition may have reacted better with, shall we say. But they still won the game. They still created some chances. And it's another 3 points.
Very optimistic today, Stevie. Goodness me. We talked about the title. Let's take a look at the odds, shall we? Nothing has changed. City still remain 10-1 on. Liverpool 6-1. Shaka, are we in a scenario if Liverpool win every game between now and the end of the season, they're champions?
I think, without question, they have to. Even with that game coming up between Liverpool and City in April, that brings it down to 3 points if Liverpool win. And you just don't see City dropping points. So it's a big ask to beat City, and equally so to expect them to drop 3 further points. But if you're Liverpool, I think you're right. You're just saying to yourself, we have to be perfect. We can win handsomely from time to time, and we have to win ugly as you did against Burnley. But whatever we do, we have to win. I think this is a real test of Liverpool's resolve now.
We've been here before, haven't we? This title race between City and Liverpool, where even a draw feels like a defeat because of the manner in which both are playing. Liverpool win everything, they're champions?
No. First of all, I don't think that they win everything.
Mm.
Eventually, one of these games that Stevie's referring to, that maybe it's not champagne and caviar, well, maybe one of those games don't go your way. Maybe one of those games, the bounces are not quite what you need them to be, and maybe one of those games you're not playing against Weghorst, missing opportunities. And I just think that the pressure on a team to be perfect, and the fact that they acknowledge that they need to be perfect, is in the end what's going to undo Liverpool. Because those missed opportunities in a game in which they need a goal here and there, they continue to mount up, and that's where perhaps you fall short, because you know that there is pressure on you. Either you win or you're out of the race. And that's where I think Liverpool is going to have trouble.
And Liverpool and City just head and shoulders over everyone at the moment. Aside from the title race, of course, it's all about who will get that fourth place. Nobody wants it, it seems. Wolves with a 2-0 victory away against Spurs today. Really, Stevie, the damage was done in the opening 20 minutes. Spurs were sleeping, Wolves took advantage. And from then on, it was an uphill struggle for Conte's side that in the end, they couldn't get over.
Yeah, unfortunately for Spurs, Wolves' 12th man was Lloris in goal. I mean, what an absolute disaster. The first goalie had two chances to get the thing away to safety. The first punch, he punched it straight into the middle of the goal. The second punch, he punched it straight back to Jimenez, who stuck it in the back of the net. I mean, twice he could have avoided this disaster. And then, of course, what an absolute disastrous pass that he gave to Ben Davis. Mm. I mean, it had lack of composure and lack of confidence written all over it. You would have thought a goalkeeper of his experience, as by the two mistakes that he made for the first goal, would get over that. But he clearly hadn't. And all of a sudden, you're two down. And if you give Wolves two goals at a start, this side doesn't let in goals. This side doesn't give many teams too much of a sniff. And so when you're 2-0 down against Wolves, you're pretty much done and dusted. And that finished up being the case.
We know Hugo Lloris has got these sort of games in him, Shaq.
Yeah, and that's been the complaint for quite some time for both club and country, in all honesty. Whereas in terms of a country, you might be a little bit not sure of where you turn to. For club, I have to admit, I'm surprised that Spurs haven't looked for a new goalkeeper, in all honesty. And Steve's right. Listen, in defence of Lloris for just a moment, he did make quite a few other good saves during the game, but you can't get away from the mistakes that caused the two goals that sent Wolves on their way. And as much as Spurs dominated the second half, the horse is already bolted, and it's up to you now to break a determined Wolves team down, and you just can't give them that kind of a lead. For Wolves, I'm talking about this run for the top four. We focus on United, Spurs and West Ham. We focus on Arsenal, especially after Arsenal beat Wolves last week. But Wolves have only lost to Arsenal, Liverpool and City, dating back to October. They had a couple of disappointing draws. But all of a sudden, Wolves are the team that are looking the most likely to finish in the top four, and you show exactly why today.
Well, let's simplify it. Stevie, are Spurs out of this top four race?
Yeah, I think so. I do. I think it was only a couple of weeks ago I was saying that I thought they could get the fourth spot. But defensively, they are just atrocious. I mean, I'm not saying that they have the odd bad game in them. They are just all over the place. And quite frankly, the personnel isn't good enough. Ben Davis isn't good enough to play in a back three. I mean, your Reece we've already spoken about. And then you've got Davinson Sanchez. Oh, my goodness. They lose far too many goals. The personnel isn't going to change that much, if at all. And so because of that, I think they're probably out it now.
The big winners this weekend, as well as Wolves, of course, Arsenal, who weren't in action because West Ham drew, United drew, Spurs lost. Where are we standing, Shaq, on who's going to get that fourth place?
Right now, I think Wolves are in pole position. Listen, a few months ago, I said it seems like who's going to be the least bad are the team that are going to finish fourth. After Wolves lost to Arsenal last week, they didn't enter into the conversation all that much. And then, as you just point out, West Ham dropped points. United dropped points. Spurs obviously lose to Wolves. Arsenal don't play. Their game in hand for this weekend is supposed to be against world champions Chelsea, which I know we'll get to. So I'm not sure, you know, if you're Wolves, you kind of like that. You kind of like that you've flown under the radar.
Arsenal fans, I would argue, they'll say, look, we've got one game in hand over Wolves. We're 2 points ahead of them, and we've already beaten them just last week. So what's wrong with Shaka? Why is he so anti-Arsenal that he's coming out and saying Wolves ahead of us?
I'm not at all anti-Arsenal. As I said, after they beat Wolves, especially in that second half performance, that was a performance from Arsenal we've not been able to speak about for a couple of years. Now, if they keep that up, surely it's the fourth place is theirs to lose. But after 45 minutes, I'm not going to say that this all of a sudden is the resilient Arsenal that we know from 5 or 6 years ago.
I don't even know that Shaq understands what he was saying there.
Of course he does. He's not anti-Arsenal. That's what we're taking away from.
Right, so he's not anti-Arsenal, but Arsenal's not finished in the fourth position.
No.
Okay. So that's it?
That's it. Who have you got?
Look. Arsenal look great because we never saw them playing.
Well, yes, exactly. That's it.
You know what's going to be the key, Dan?
Sometimes it's better if you don't play. All of a sudden, in the mind, they're actually not that bad.
I'm pretty sure that Shaka didn't remember that he had paid compliments to Arsenal.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he brought it out of nowhere. The key here is going to be the training sessions by Ralf Rangnick and Chris Armas. They are going to bring Manchester
State
together.
There was a sarcastic tone to that, Ali.
No. Oh, you noticed it?
Oh, no.
Manchester United is going to come together in those training sessions.
Yes.
And they're going to be your fourth place team. You don't believe me, do you?
Well, no, you have not sold it, considering
I don't believe it either.
Tell you what, how does a team become fourth when right now all they're doing is praising themselves for having a good 45 minutes in a 90-minute game? Because that's all I hear these days. Well, we're really good for 45. We just need to work out the other 45. If a team like that gets fourth, it tells you a lot about the rest.
What about the training sessions? They're going to get better, Dan.
Right, I've had enough of your nonsense. Okay. Right, of course. Meanwhile, Newcastle with another win. 1-0 over Aston Villa. Kieran Trippier's free kick enough to see them take the victory. 4 points clear now of Norwich in 18th.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Milan back to the top of the table. It's been a while, hasn't it, after a 1-0 victory over Sampdoria. We'll talk about that in a moment, but we'll focus first on that 1-1 draw between Atalanta and Juventus. It looked like Malossi's goal would be enough to see the hosts take all 3 points, but Danilo at the death will get the equaliser for Juventus. So more on this, let's welcome in Gab Marcotti. Gab, Juve lucky?
Well, can we say Atalanta unlucky? Because when they were 1-0 up, Hans Hatzebuehr, wide open, one of those misses you're going to see on YouTube forever, sending the ball crashing against the crossbar. Would have been 2-0 at that point. Juve, I thought, came out of the gates, were played really, really well for the first 20 minutes or so. Then Atalanta, who had a bunch of players missing, kind of took the initiative. But look, if you're a Juve fan, you're going to point out, we believe until the very end. That's kind of like our motto. And they ended up getting that point at the end through Danilo's injury time header.
So both will be happy with this game?
I see where you're going with this. No, I don't think Atalanta will be happy, because I think they certainly will feel that they should have put the game away. Equally, though, from Juve's perspective, you know, they showed the reaction late on. And maybe people got a little bit carried away when, you know, they had that good run and then they signed Vlahovic and Zakaria, who, by the way, was missing today and I think was badly missed in midfield. And people started talking, ooh, can they get back in the title race? Well, no, Atalanta had been on a really, really bad run, just 3 wins of 15 at home. And, I guess they didn't win again tonight, but I think they felt that they had plenty to prove.
How did the front three look for you, Vega?
I thought Vlahovic, again, he gives Juve that different dimension that they need. I think Dybala had his moments. Morata, a little bit less so. There was one particular incident where he kind of took forever to square the ball or even shoot on goal from a very good position. That was certainly a chance that they snuffed. I thought in the first 20 minutes especially, Juve could have scored and should have scored. That they didn't came back to haunt them.
Meanwhile, as I mentioned, Milan with a 1-0 victory over Sampdoria. It was Leao's got early on in this game, just 8 minutes on the clock, would see them take the victory over Sampdoria. And top of the table, Gab.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, they got that early goal. They got it. Remember, if you remember, the Ederson to Raheem Sterling goal, the Hail Mary goal. Mm-hmm. This is kind of the same thing. Milan playing it around or acting as if they're setting up to play out from the back. Sampdoria pressing them. And boom, Mike Maignan just punting the ball. Rafael Leao streaking down the wing. Tremendous control, putting them in the lead. I felt like, you know, they're going to add to this. They had a long stretch when, you know, they seemed kind of content to sort of weather the storm, hit on the break. Then they had some chances later on. Olivier Giroud with an overhead kick. Rebic also with a good chance. But they certainly look like they're in fine form. Only sour note, perhaps, Frank Kessie booed by his own supporters when he came on. But I think that has simply to do with the fact that he's a free agent in June and has not extended his contract.
Thank you very much, Gab. A lot more from Gab on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. That drops on Monday. Be sure to check it out.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
What a Catalan derby it was on Sunday. Perfect start for Barca. Just 2 minutes in, Pedri would open the scoring. But then Dadaer for Espanyol just for the break. Lovely goal would make it 1-1. Into the second half we go. Raul de Thomas would make it 2-1 to the host. And it looked like that'd be enough to give them a big win. However, Luke de Jong in pretty much the final play of the game with the equaliser had finished Espanyol 2-1. Barcelona 2. Overall, how do we sum this up, Ali? A disappointing result for Barca?
Yes. Disappointing in the sense that you go up 1-0. You're playing well. You feel good about yourself. You're coming off what was your best performance of the year against Atletico Madrid. And then you think, well, here's where we take over.
Yeah.
Here's where we take off. This is the moment in which we truly generate this momentum. We talk about ahead of the game in Barcelona being able to turn the corner and continue to go on a straight line with upward trajectory. And how quickly did they go back into the cul-de-sac, into the roundabout? And you see the mistakes through the midfield. You see unnecessary turnovers. You see missed opportunities. Ferran Torres was awful today. Turnover after turnover, missed chance after missed chance. And then the game really turns when Eric Garcia comes on the field.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to be fair to Eric Garcia for a second, fraction of a second. This man has been injured for over a month.
Mm-hmm.
This is his first action back. First game, actually, back available to be selected by Xavi. And Xavi decides, you know what's going to be a good idea? Let me put him out there in a game where there is a lot of intensity. Man, and his timing was all sorts of wrong. He looked like a player that had been out for over a month. He misjudges the flight of the ball. He's unable to keep up with the rest of his back line. He's missed timing challenges, gets himself a yellow card, eventually gives up a goal by Raul de Tomas because of all the missed timing and the misjudging the flight of the ball and all the mistakes that went into that singular play. And then Barcelona are chasing. And out of nowhere, I thought, you know what? We're going to come into the show and we're going to talk about Barcelona, how you can't trust this team.
Mm-hmm.
It's a step forward, two steps back. And from nowhere, you get a good service at last from Adama Traore and a finish from Luke de Jong. Not Aubameyang, not Dembele, not Ferran Torres, Luke de Jong, who continues to be a key contributor to Barcelona. A guy who was left for dead. He was not going to be used by Xavi. Whenever Ronald Koeman left this club, whenever he was shown the door, Luke de Jong felt like, I'm out myself. And he has become perhaps the most important centers forward that Barcelona has right now, because he's the only one who's scoring goals with any sort of consistency.
Let's just remind you then how this affects La Liga table. Remember Atleti coming from behind yesterday to get that win by 3-2, put them fourth. Barcelona now level on points with Atleti. What, 15 games to go, Ali? Who's your money on here?
And it's between Barcelona and Atletico Madrid, because Real Sociedad is coming. Real Betis doesn't seem to be going anywhere. So, based upon the evidence that we have seen on both teams, and by both teams, Barcelona and Atletico Madrid, you can't trust either one of them. Now, if I am to choose one, I'm going to say slightly Barcelona, because Atletico Madrid simply has shown that, never mind, are they going to get better defensively? No. Now the question is, are they going to allow less than 2 goals per game?
Yeah.
That's how bad they have been defensively. So I'll say Barcelona slightly, but with really no confidence whatsoever. I honestly really thought that today was going to be a different version of Barcelona, a far more confident Barcelona, more sure of themselves with their possession, with better defending. And because of the threats that they have going forward, I thought, you know what? This is going to be really the game in which they validate and they confirm that indeed what they showed last week is for real. The truth is that we still don't know whether it's for real or not.
One more game then remains from La Liga this week, and it's on Monday, tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern. Mallorca taking on Athletic Club live here, of course, on ESPN+. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Shaka and Stevie are standing by. Ali, of course, with us as well to answer some of your tweets in extra time. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your questions. Ali Moreno joins us in the studio. Now, we're live today, so I didn't have the chance to catch up with Stevie.
Okay.
Shaka's got Stevie's with her. I thought you were going to be in the Juventus segment. Oh, Gab's here as well. Why didn't you see the Juventus game, Stevie? What happened?
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Oh, dear. Talk about incriminating yourself. Right. So it started off, I was looking on Paramount Plus for the Juventus game. So for some reason, I kept getting Udinese.
Right.
And I couldn't get anything else. So I got the controller and I gave it Juventus v Atalanta.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
So it came up.
Yep.
And it was right at the whistle. For half time, for the kickoff.
Perfect.
I was like, oh, hey, how lucky was that? Right on the dot. Anyway, I sat there and I even texted you after about 20 minutes and said, Dan, what's the red dots on the face? You remember?
Yes.
So that sort of confirmed I was watching the right game.
Right.
Right?
good catch.
Just before half time, I went on to Soccerway to look up the guy's name, because he made a good challenge for Atalanta, the number two. I thought, can't remember his name, I'll look up Soccerway. So I looked it up, and it's got 44 minutes gone, 0-0. And I look at the screen, and it's 1-0 to Atalanta. And it's just before half-time, isn't it? And then I realised, I'm watching the wrong game, that's 2 months ago. So I phoned Pete. So I went through it. I said, you'll never guess. I've been watching the wrong game for the first half, pretty much. So we tried again, both of us. Still couldn't get the game. So then I called Pete. I called Pete, got no answer, because you two Muppets were doing a live show for Barca. And then I sent him a message. I said, call me. So he called me. I said, Pete, I can't get the Juventus game. And he went, what are you on about? It started an hour ago. I went, well, I know, but I've been watching another game for 45 minutes and spent the last 15 trying to get it.
Stevie's like, what's Cristiano Ronaldo doing? He's back.
Oh, seriously.
I mean,
what's he doing there?
Just another day. Just another day in my life.
Is that Platini out there?
Oh, Zidane. No, it's all good. Okay. In Don's absence, Stevie, what percentage of a chance do Liverpool have of winning the title this season?
Ooh. 25%.
Higher or lower, Gab?
I'm going to go lower.
Oh. Mm. How low? How low do you go?
Mm. Hey, like 25%, basically. Means that a lot of things have to fall into place for City fall into place for Liverpool and out of place for City. I just don't see it happening. Sure, they have the game in hand and they have the head-to-head. City still need to lose more points along the way. They've taken, I think it's something like 43 points out of their last 45 in the Premier League. They play a Norwich team that's flying. They leave out, you know, arguably the three key players, plus Laporte, plus Stones, plus Grealish. Doesn't matter. They still go out and road grade them. To me, it's just too big a gap right now.
Stevie.
Actually, I think I agree with you, Gab.
Oh.
I think 25 is too much.
Oh, no. Oh. Where are you going to go? 24?
No.
Oh, dear. Stevie, when do you think Conte will leave Spurs? Tomorrow, this week, or the summer?
No. No, I think he'll stay. I actually listened to an interview he did today, and he was talking about.
Are you sure it was today?
He's going to rebuild this.
A couple of months ago, maybe.
Yes.
Was it Juventus pre-match?
Yes. Yes.
Was he the manager at Juventus at the time?
How is his hairline?
He was talking about. He was talking about how his job was to rebuild Tottenham. You know, from the team that played in the Champions League final to now, it needed rebuilding. So when a guy's talking about rebuilding, you know that he's looking to the future. So I'm going to say he's going to be here. He'll be here. He'll be at Tottenham this time next year. I expect Tottenham to spend money this summer, no question.
Right, we'll clip this off, most definitely. Uh-huh. Gab, what's your instincts on this?
Look, I've said this all along. I think he knew what he was getting into. I was a bit surprised that they didn't or weren't able to perhaps get some help at the back, which is, I think, where they needed it most. Obviously, they need help in different positions, and Bentancur helps. But he knew from day one what was getting into. You know, let's not forget, Fabio Paratici is a guy who brought in Emerson over the summer. He knows what this team is like, and I think he's in it for the long haul. I also think, and this is not something we often see from Conte, he also talked about how, you know, we can't let expectations get too high, because then if we don't meet them, we're going to feel bad or something to that effect. When you start talking like that, when you're managing expectations, I think Conte thinks, look, I look at these other teams, we have an outside shot of finishing top four, even if we don't, you know, if we finish fifth or sixth, but show positive forward progress, that's what I want. That's what allows me to go in the summer and really push for the signings that that I want. And, you know, two or three players, probably one in each area of the pitch.
Shaka, I haven't got any questions for you today. How are you?
No.
I'm doing very well, thanks, Dan.
That's it.
I'm okay with no questions. I'm here for the entertainment.
That right lamp looks a bit wonky,
doesn't
it? I'm
here for Stevie's stories.
Why is the right lamp so wonky, Shaq?
Things are a little slanted.
Yeah, you look a little. Yeah, it's the whole thing slanted, isn't it?
Which one? This one?
No, the right one.
Well, this one's a bit wonky.
No, I think it's just the whole
what's
setup,
that?
Isn't it?
Oh,
yeah.
That's okay, good touch, Shaq.
Yeah, Shaq, that's much better.
Good touch.
Is that all right?
For Gab, looking at Manchester United... Oh, okay. For Gab, looking at Manchester United and Spurs struggles with different managers, does this vindicate Mourinho's lack of desired success with those two teams? Looking in retrospect, should he have been given more time?
We're going back two managers ago now, and certainly in the case of Manchester United. I think these are different situations. I think we didn't just go from Mourinho to Conte. There was somebody in between. There was a global pandemic which affected everybody. I personally was surprised that Mourinho was let go the way he did on the eve of a cup final. I didn't see the point why that couldn't have happened in the summer. That was obviously broken, the relationship. At United, I think if he had been given more time, I think they probably might have gotten better results. I think, though, at that point, he had alienated so many people and he had pushed in so many different directions that wasn't going to happen. I think there's a ton of dysfunction at United. And I don't think it's surprising that, you know, with all the money spent, Solskjaer and Rangnick are having ups and downs. But I think Spurs' situation is a bit different. I don't think there's the same level of dysfunction. You just have substantially worse players because there's been substantially less investment in the squad, not just for Conte or Nuno Espirito Santo, but going right back through Mourinho, right back to Pochettino. It just, you know, at some point, they simply stopped investing in the squad. And when they did spend money, perhaps they bought the wrong players in many cases.
Stevie, when a player is substituted early in the first half, like Sessegnon today, what does the manager say to the player when he's coming off the field?
Oof. I would suggest nothing. Because there's nothing you can say to somebody. The player coming off is absolutely not listening to anything other than what's going on inside his head, which is not going to be very nice. So you'll be wasting your breath to even attempt to speak to the player. I think you wait until after the game and then you take him aside and just explain why you made the decision you did. And after that, it's up to him to take it professionally. And if it's a lot of nonsense, then he'll probably lose his rag. But if he's got some sense, and the reason behind it's a decent one and a sensible one and makes sense, then, as I said, he'll have to take it.
Yesterday's extra time was dominated by Mr. Burley and his rant against the plastic cup.
What?
Which Chelsea, of course, won. Steve, is it hard to get up for games in the plastic cup competition, or do you just want to win the trophy?
Well, it's very difficult. I can't tell you. I can't speak for players today. All I can tell you is that when we played, when the World Club Championship began and back in the early 80s, we played in the first couple. And I can tell you that it was a holiday. It was treated by our coaching staff as a few days away, have a few beers, which of course means have more than a few beers, and then just play the game, and then we'll go home, and we've had a couple of days away with the lads. That's how we treated it. Nowadays, it seems to be far more prestigious. Certainly, that's the way it's put on the screen. Maybe that's because of the sponsors. Maybe that's because of all the different FAs. But as I said, I can't speak for the player today. But in my day, it was a carry-on.
Can I give the other perspective of this, on the other side? Because
yes,
it's not only the team coming from Europe.
Yep, or, so from Palmeiras' side.
In South America, growing up, the Intercontinental Cup, as it was called back then, and used to be played in Japan, it was a big deal. So the team going from South America was representing not only their league and their country, but all of South America, and it was South America against Europe and then becoming world champion at the club level. And I remember as a kid, you would stay up to watch this game because it was meaningful. And so to that point, while this guy's, Stevie just referred to his team being on the beer and a holiday, for the South American team, it's far more significant. And it was a big deal then, it's still a big deal now.
Go on, Gab.
I remember the first one.
No, I just want to say it's not just the South American teams. I mean, this competition, for those of us on the continent, this is, you grew up hearing stories. You grew up hearing stories about Independiente playing Inter Milan, about Real Madrid, about the great teams. And I remember also as a kid, you know, getting up, I'd get up early. Ali would stay up late, but it's the same thing. To watch Milan compete in them. I actually went to one of those in 1985, Juventus against Argentinos Juniors. I was very young at the time. I happened to live in Tokyo. It was a really, really big deal. I think what it tells you was just how the world was a much bigger place in Stevie's time. And you know, maybe Liverpool going out there saying, well, we won in Europe. To us, it's just a jolly, and they don't take it seriously, even if they're playing Flamengo or whoever. But, you know, I guess things have the value that people ascribe to them. And in recent years, the fact that Europe generally wins all the time you know, maybe in the eyes of some people has diminished the importance of it, but you know, it's still the winners of all the continents, and somebody comes out on top. I think it's still somewhat, it's still meaningful, and the history certainly is very meaningful.
Stevie?
The first one Liverpool played in was against Flamengo, with Zico and all those guys. And before the game, somehow the storyline was to Liverpool, but you know what, take it easy, you know, we want this game to be here forever, we want it to be special, and you know, so you know, take it easy, don't be kicking anybody, and don't, you know, all nice and easy. So the guys were like, aye, okay, all right. I think Liverpool were 3-0 down after about 15 minutes. because they were standing off and not wanting to kick anybody, and Zico's pinging balls into the top corner, left, right and centre. And then the second one we went to, of course, we as I said, we thought it was a jolly up. But it was just after the Falklands War. And of course, the Falklands War, the difference it meant to Argentinians and the difference it meant to us was chalk and cheese. Mm. You know, when Independiente beat us 1-0 after the game, you would have thought they'd actually just won a war. I mean, the whole team, the whole squad, everyone, were running around the stadium with an Argentina flag, and they're all screaming and crying, and we were like, what's going on here? What's up with this lot? So, you know, two completely contrasting approaches to the game. I mean, couldn't be any different. One was back at war, and the other one was, well, on their holidays.
Final question. Since it's the Super Bowl today, who do you want to win, Gab?
Oh, Bengals, 100%. Oh. And it's very simple. I don't have any particular affinity for either team, except for the fact that I like teams who have real fan bases, who have suffered, who care about this. And I just think it means a heck of a lot more to people in Cincinnati and Bengals fans than it does to the Rams, and you know, who Stan Kroenke moves into town, and plus it's LA, so you know, NFL's not really a thing there. And people who've been fans going back, what, 2-3 years? It's completely different. But for me, 100% Cincinnati.
Who do you want?
Well, the Cowboys, yeah.
Well, yes, I don't think they're going to make it.
Right. I say the Bengals.
Yeah.
Let's go with the underdogs.
Yes.
Far more appealing.
Okay.
And the pretty boys from LA.
So, Shaka, since it's the Super Bowl today, and of course food is important, start, bench, and cut one. Chicken wings, pizza, and chips with any type of dip.
Oh.
For the soup. Oh, goodness me.
Oh.
I've got to start wings. You have to have wings.
Right. Bonus, of course, Shaq.
What? Those are not wings.
There's no such thing as boneless wings. There's wings and chicken nuggets. There's no such thing as boneless wings.
I like boneless
so
wings.
So I start wings.
Less of a faff.
No, I change that. I start pizza, a pineapple-less pizza.
No.
I bench wings and I drop chips and dip.
Oh, okay. Stevie, you're obviously starting with chips.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
Dan. Why didn't you call Pelly and ask him who he wants to win in the Super Bowl? I'll tell you what. Pelly, one last question for you, Pelly. Who do you want to win the Super Bowl?
I'll tell you what, Dan. Ask him again, you idiot.
And how did that go then?
I still get a horrible feeling in my stomach when I think about it. What an absolute...
That's all right.
There we go. All right. It's because I brought up in watching the Atalanta Juventus
game. Yeah, there it is.
I like that.
Payback.
Okay.
Quick payback. Yeah.
That is it. We're going to say goodbye. Thank you very much for watching. But we're going to say goodbye to Stevie and to Shaka, because Sid is here.
What?
And Sid, we want to reflect on some more from what we saw between Espanyol and Barcelona. Let's hear, shall we, Sid's interview. Was it Aubameyang and Xavi after the game?
Yeah, I think it was
a bit strange, but I think we were a lot of attackers because we wanted to score a goal, and this is what we did. So to tell the truth, that's the most important thing.
29 minutes last week against Atletico, I think a little bit more tonight. Physically, how close do you think you are to being fully fit now?
Yeah, I think I'm close. I'm working really hard in training session to regain the form, because it's not easy after 2 months without playing. But the guys are helping me a lot. So to tell the truth, I think I'm really close.
And psychologically, emotionally, how do you feel in this new stage? It feels like almost a second opportunity at a time when things obviously were quite difficult at Arsenal.
Yeah, definitely. It's a big opportunity for me. So that's why I said when I arrived, I was really happy. And as I said, I will try to give my best for the team.
Game, eh? At the start, if you said 2-2, you'd imagine that it would be Espanyol be the happier of the two sides. Yet at the full-time whistle, it's clearly Barca who are delighted that they just took a point. Sid?
Well, Xavi said the opposite. It was quite interesting listening to him after the game. He said that this should have felt like a victory in the way that it happened, but that he felt this was a game that Barcelona really should have put out of sight earlier on. He said at 1-0 up, they had chances for two. He said that he felt that they conceded the goal that Sergi Darder scored at a point at which they were in control of the game, and then conceded again to Raúl de Tomás at a point when he felt that they were getting back in control of the game again. But obviously the way that it finally happens means that Barcelona leave here feeling reasonably pleased with it. And of course, the context that we were talking about pre-show, Dan, about that whole idea of Barcelona starting to find their feet. Now, I think when you analyse tonight's game, you will maybe back away from that analysis a little bit, but it's another week in which they haven't been beaten. They still now haven't been beaten since December.
That's certainly the positive spin on it. The negative one, Sid, maybe, as you were saying in the week, that some of the Catalan newspapers were suggesting, with Real Madrid struggling without Benzema, that maybe Barcelona could catch them at the top of the table. I would suggest maybe that title challenge is over.
Possibly. It could well be, couldn't it? I mean, they could have won 15-0 tonight and it probably would have been over. It is curious that the focus on this was that Real Madrid have dropped 2 points. That's the chance to maybe get a little bit closer. Of course, there's this time still for this to happen. I think that's a step too far. I think deep down, Xavi knows that, even though he says, look, we're not going to turn our backs on any option this season. The main thing is to get into the top four. They will still feel, I think, that they're in a good position to do that. I think the other thing, I suppose, is the analysis of the game itself tonight. And while Xavi, I think, is probably right that a lot of the time it felt like they were in control, the creativity wasn't always there, and certainly not the subtlety that you would anticipate seeing with a Xavi team. This was a team that, I believe, when Luke de Jong headed in, I think that was the 26th cross from Barcelona tonight. Now, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with putting crosses into the box, but of course it doesn't quite fit with the identity that they're trying to build. And of course, the other thing is that if you keep putting the ball in the box, well, you might as well put someone on the pitch who can actually head it. And that's eventually what happened, and it got them the equaliser.
It certainly did. Meanwhile, of course, focus turns to the Champions League this week. PSG against Real Madrid, the standout tie. Carlo Ancelotti naming the squad today, which included Karim Benzema. Said, I'm intrigued to get your view and the view in Spain regarding what we discussed yesterday. With given the poor run of form that Real Madrid are on, are they better not risking Benzema, focusing on La Liga, making sure they get that done, get over the line there, before contemplating risking Benzema for the Champions League?
Well, the first part of the answer, of course, is the extent to which it's a risk or not. Mm. Now, Benzema trained with the team today, but only for some of the session, not for the whole thing. So the first things first, it clearly would be a bit of a risk for him to play. And, of course, this is off the back of the context of this, is that when this injury first happened, there was a bit of a sense of, well, it's 7 to 10 days, it's no big deal, but it clearly is worse than was originally said. From within the dressing room at Real Madrid, there's a very clear sense that this is worse than it was originally anticipated, and there is a risk implicit in it. And then we get to the next stage of it, which is exactly the question you ask, has been asked in Spain. And I must confess, I'm surprised by that. I thought that everybody in Spain Spain will be thinking, well, look, the moment he's even remotely fit, put him in because we need him, because he's really significant. But I think the fact that Sevilla are now only 4 points behind, the fact that the league title doesn't look like a foregone conclusion, in other words, you wouldn't necessarily risk the league to chase a Champions League, which you think you could win, but you don't think you're very likely to win. And I think that has tilted the balance back a little bit towards saying, don't risk him. Of course, the other reason to not risk him is that this is a two-legged tie. So if they were to go to Paris and get a reasonable result without winning, then in theory, at least, he would be fully fit for the return leg. So the debate is there. And I suspect it feels a little bit like Spain is now leaning towards, yeah, don't risk him. Maybe play him 20 minutes, maybe play him half an hour, but do not do anything that runs the risk of him getting injured again.
What the heck are they going to do at left back, Sid? Because Marcelo can't play there again. He was shocking against Villarreal. Against PSG, it's a different level.
Well, I feel like I shouldn't tell you who, because it might be a little bit unfair, but I was talking to a colleague and a friend about Marcelo on Saturday, and he said to me, you know, watching Marcelo, it's a Marcelo tribute band. It looks a bit like Marcelo, and it plays a bit like Marcelo, but it just isn't anymore. And of course, like a tribute band as well, it only really plays in the venues that aren't that important.
Yeah.
And you sort of feel like that might well be the case this week. I think, in a way, the answer is relatively simple. If Mendy's not there, you play Nacho, because you maybe lose some of the technical quality, because Marcelo's still got that, but you gain a defender.
Sid, as always, thank you very much. Benzema, yes or no? What do you do?
Absolutely not.
Right.
The most important player for Real Madrid currently is Karim Benzema.
If you're 20 points ahead, it's a different conversation, yeah?
Yes, but that's not where we are.
Yeah.
And so not only do you not risk him, I imagine that he's taking him just to kind of plant the idea in PSG that he may play.
Okay.
And maybe that affects some of the decisions for Pochettino and PSG. But I do not think for a second that Carlo Ancelotti would risk Karim Benzema and potentially lose him for an extended period of time in La Liga. That does not make any sort of sense. I don't think he will do it, and I don't think it's worth it.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Of course, more on this game tomorrow as we'll be looking ahead. But for now, it's all about boneless chicken wings, Ali.
That's not a chicken wing.
Lovely.
They're kind of messy to eat, too, by the way. I don't like chicken wings. It's too sticky.
No? Yeah? What will you eat tonight? Parfait?
Yeah. Good combination of parfait, yogurt. It's going to be excellent. Some almond, honey.
Lovely.
Yeah. Fabulous.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.